Then I see you standing near me, Lord, shining with compassion in your eyes. And I pray, Jesus, shine down on me. Let your love shine through me in the night.
Hello again, everyone. If you would, find your seats. And there's a bulletin that we had, and we have a new song that we'd like for you to look at. It's inside your bulletin on the insert, and it's called We've Come This Far by Faith. If you would, please stand. We'll stand and sing We've Come This Far by Faith. You may not know the song, but we'll sing it a few times so you can get the hang of it, okay? Follow me.
We've come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in His holy word. He's never failed us yet. Oh, we've come this far. We've come this far by faith.
Still relatively new to me, too. Sorry about that. Let's sing it one more time now that we've got the hang of it.
We've come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in His holy word. He's never failed us yet. Oh, we can't turn back. We've come this far by faith.
Excellent words, don't you think? Let's sing it one more time.
We've come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in His holy word. He's never failed us yet. Oh,
We've come this far by faith. Wonderful. You may be seated.
Amen. Well, as you see, we've asked the young people to sit in the choir loft, so there are seats down front, fellas, if we need more seats as we go along. Well, welcome again to the 90th anniversary services of Metropolitan Baptist Church. And as we've just sung, folks, there's no way we would have this 90 years to celebrate if it wasn't something done by faith. Absolutely trusting in our God and trusting in His Word. And He's never failed. He is not failing, and He will never fail. He will absolutely accomplish everything that He sets out to do and has commissioned His people to do. And so we're here to celebrate Him today for sure. Planning for today has been going on really for over a year. But in reality, this day has been in the making for the last 90 years. 90 years of the Lord working in and through the Metropolitan Baptist Church. And our theme is 90 years preaching Jesus, pressing on toward the mark. And Lord, help us. We can't do that without Him. Can't do that lest He be pleased. As we trust Him, we believe Him, we indeed place our faith completely and absolutely in Him to accomplish what He would be pleased to do here on this hill for His glory. Now, we're going to open in prayer, and then I'm going to ask, where'd he go? There's Brother Curtis. Come and give us a few announcements. And, of course, this is a Baptist church. We are going to take up an offering, of course. They'd fire me if we didn't do that. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for Your mercy to us. We thank You today for the Lord Jesus Christ. We realize, Father, that it's all about Him, that indeed we would not be here today, we would not be having this great anniversary and celebration, if it was not for what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us so long ago. And so, Father, please enter in, take absolute, complete control. We ask You that as You already have been pleased to do, You continue to bless in every area and all that's said, all that's done, all that's sung for Your glory and for Your honor. Thank You, Lord. Thank You in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Curtis, you come.
Well, gentlemen, if y'all come forward to receive this morning's offering and go over a few little announcements. And Brother Wayne, if you'd make your way down here to pray for us when we get through in just a second. What did not make the bulletin, one of our famous little yellow pieces of paper, on the back table, there are pictures and DVDs. We'd ask that be one per household, please. And I think we got enough for all that right there, I do believe. We're asking for everybody, if they would, stay afterwards. We're having a big dinner back here. There's plenty to eat. If you were to go out to the hamburger joint somewhere today, you'd truly hear, "Where's the beef?" because we all have it back there. Several old mules have died to help with the cause. If you get a tough piece, you know what it is. So other than that, just a few little announcements we need to look for. Hey, teachers' conference on the 17th. Other than that, ladies and gentlemen, you got a good bulletin. A lot of effort went into it. Go ahead and read it, please. Brother Wayne, where are you at? Come pray for us.
Let's pray. Father, we do thank You for the blessing of coming into Your presence again this morning. Lord, it's such a privilege to be here, such a privilege to remember. Oh God, we don't live in yesterday, we live today, and I ask You, Lord, that You do Your work right now in our hearts. Help us as we remember to realize that the responsibility of this generation rests on our shoulders. And God, it'll be what we do for You that really lasts and matters. I ask you that you'd take charge of the offering, take charge of the rest of this service. Lord, we've pretty well done what we can do. Now we just trust you to do what only you can do. I ask you to be with Brother Mark. Bless him as he preaches. And give him anointing and power. Lord, I pray that you'd open our hearts. Help us, Lord, to hear with understanding what thus saith the Lord, and move and work in our midst. And we'll praise you for everything you do. For it is in Jesus' blessed name we pray, and he alone is worthy. Amen.
Thank you, orchestra. I'm going to ask the guys to go ahead and cue the video that we're going to see. And then after the video, we're going to ask the Rochesters to come back and have a few songs for us. So if you guys can get that ready, we're going to look at the present, what's going on right now with Metropolitan Baptist Church. So we'll watch that now.
I press toward the mark.
Metropolitan Baptist Church has been pressing toward the mark for many years. Throughout this course of time, Metropolitan is still running strong. With the finish line of Christ and our eyes set on the prize, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Metropolitan has drastically changed over the years, but many things have stayed the same. We can look at each of the faces, each soul that makes up Metropolitan Baptist Church, and see a people whose God is the Lord, a people who love God and others, a people pressing toward the mark in their lives and in God's church. These are people that can do nothing else but love God with all their heart, soul, and mind. Metropolitan is running this race, continually impacting lives.
I'm Lyle Wallace, and in the pastoral ministry. Metropolitan Baptist Church had a huge impact on my ministry. We had great years of ministry there. Just the joy of the people there, the teams and everything that happened. There's so many great memories, so many funny memories that we could pour out, so many spiritual victories. and also some spiritual heartaches. But I think through it all, Metropolitan helped me to see the joy of loving people, of pouring into people.
My name is Paul Shelton, and currently I'm the pastor of Central Baptist Church in Denton, Texas. Well, I was born and raised in Metropolitan. I was in the nursery at about 6 weeks of age, and I was there until I was 26 years old. Everything I learned about what ministry was to be, everything I learned about what it meant to pastor, to preach, what a church was supposed to look like and operate like, I learned in my childhood at Metropolitan. I was saved there, I was baptized there, I met my wife there, was married there, and surrendered to the ministry there. All the many major highlights of my early life, happened at Metropolitan. So how it's impacted my life is just, it's impacted every facet of my ministry.
My name is Shannon Eaton. I'm the pastor of Calvary Baptist Church. Metropolitan has impacted my ministry in a unique way because it has helped me gather my members together who desire to go to school and give them a place where they can and get a good, sound biblical education. And it's continuing to do so. I hope and pray that as I continue to teach Greek at TTU, I will continue to affect.
My name is Chuck Wilson, and I serve here at Metropolitan as Sunday School Superintendent and as Deacon. Metropolitan has impacted my ministry by just providing a place to come and serve, to come and utilize those talents that God has given me, by giving me the tools to serve, by just giving me the people to work with. And I've been very blessed to come here. Been thankful for God and the things He's given me. God is an awesome, powerful God. He's a God that loves us, that cares for us. He's taken care of me. He's met my needs, and He's a God that knows what's best for us. He's brought us through some difficult times, and I'm very thankful for that.
I'm Jim Turner, and I'm the senior pastor here at Metropolitan Baptist Church. And the Lord would please allow Marcia and I to be here now for the last 2.5 years. And it's a tremendous opportunity and privilege to be pastor here at Metropolitan. There's no question that Metropolitan has had a great impact on my life. Along the way, God's been pleased to save some souls and see them grow in the grace, the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And probably the greatest impact on me is being able to have that interaction with the precious folks here at Metropolitan. It's a great burden and prayer of mine that we as a church would continue to impact the city of Lake Worth and North Fort Worth. We certainly want to see souls saved. We want to see lives changed and even see the supernatural, miraculous working of the Holy Spirit of God. Entering in and healing and renewing, reviving families, seeing this church that's been a light on this hill for so many years continue to shine for the glory of God and to be that salt and light. Our theme for this year, 2013, the 90th anniversary of Metropolitan Baptist Church, has been 90 years preaching Jesus. Of course, other side of that is pressing on toward the mark. We don't want to let that fall. We want to continue to declare the glory of God and, of course, the Son of God. We want to stay faithful to God's Word and just to continue on. The instruction of the Lord is to occupy till I come. And we want to not just take up space, but to be occupiers. To claim the victory that is ours in the Lord Jesus Christ and to continue to preach and declare the glorious, soul-changing, life-reforming message of the gospel.
Metropolitan Baptist Church has been pressing toward the mark for many years. Throughout this course of time, Metropolitan is still running strong.
Amen. Go ahead and ask the Rochester family to return to the platform. I did want to rehearse what Curtis had shared a moment ago. In the foyer, there are a picture and a DVD there on the table, and every family that's here today is welcome to take one of each of those, a picture of the present congregation, and also a DVD that has all three of the videos that we'll see today on them. You can play them separately or in their entirety. All right. Thank you, folks. Got Curtis doing me a little favor there. Along the way today, actually we had planned to do this in the afternoon service, but just in case, Miss Margie Dominey is not able to stay all the way through. There are some special folk in Metropolitan Baptist Church that have. Thank you. That have been a lot to this church, and we want to recognize some of those through the day. And so Miss Margie, I don't know if she's going to be able to stay the whole service. So we wanted to go ahead, or the whole day. So I wanted to go ahead and recognize them. Was you able to find that? How old was Margie when she started coming to church here? Somebody tell me. She's a child anyway. And when her and CR got married, and you can probably tell me what year they got married. Right? 1960. And they've been both attending here ever since. And is Brother CR there? Brother CR, would you come? And we have... We've arranged to have these plaques made up, again, for some special people. There'll be a bunch more we recognize in the afternoon service. Brother C.R., we love you and Margie. So thankful for you. Lord, bless you both. And we're sure praying for Margie in these days that God's going to deliver her through this present battle. Amen, my brother. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to get some preaching now. And Pastor Mark Thrift is going to come and preach the Word of God for us. He's the pastor of Parkwood Baptist Church, Houston, Texas. I'm sorry. Oh, I didn't even... Let's get Mrs. Atnez's too. I'm sorry. I didn't want to forget that. Ms. Kravanik is the oldest living member of Metropolitan Baptist Church. And you know, you're not supposed to tell a lady's age. And so I'm going to be very careful about that. Let's just say she's a grand lady. And we're so thankful that she's still a part of Metropolitan Baptist Church. Can somebody come down and get that for her? Please. And folks along the way, members, make sure you express your gratitude to these dear saints. We've got it. Thank you, David. Thank you so much. Amen.
She's 97.
Okay. 97 years old, and that deserves a hand. I knew she was 97, but I wanted to have clarity before I announced that. Pastor Mark Thrift, I appreciate so much you being here with us today. He pastors himself, and I know that it's very difficult. There's times that I have to be away, but my heart's always here, and I know his heart is with his dear folk there in Houston. But I appreciate you being here with us today. Would you come and just preach what God's put on your heart?
Thank you, Brother Jim. I appreciate it. God bless you. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And indeed, it is a privilege today to be here in the house of the Lord, Metropolitan Baptist Church, Lake Worth, Texas. And I congratulate you and and celebrate with you today on this, your 90th anniversary. I had the privilege of having a grand tour yesterday of the grounds, the facilities, to walk these halls and to look at the pictures and the displays. And my heart was stirred to see, to comprehend, and behold all that God has done here over these 90 years. I could not help but think of the words of Caiaphas in the book of Acts, when that little stirring, as they called it, took place, and that the Holy Spirit fell and that church began to form. The Pharisees wondered how long it would last. And Caiaphas' answer to them was, well, if it's of God, it will last. And no doubt, Metropolitan Baptist Church, after 90 years of existence in history, was birthed in the heart of a people of yesteryear. No doubt it was of God, because it indeed has lasted. And today we rejoice with the opportunity to be with you. Thank you, Brother Jim, for the invitation. I appreciate you and your wife. Thank you for your hospitality and the invitation that you extended to both my wife and I. I do know some of the folk here. It's good to see Brother Larry and his wife here this morning. I know them well and remember them well. I know the Martin family. I was stirred, Bruce, to see your father's shoes and sleeping bag back here in the hallway. That blessed my heart. I know Brother Milton and his wife and the Martin family well. Some of you I know by face. I've seen you here and there, maybe perhaps at East Texas Baptist Camp Meeting and some other places. I'm so glad to see you today. And then, of course, the Rochesters. It's always a privilege to serve with them. I love this family. They are the real deal. They're not performers. They're not part of the industry. They come to minister, and I have been privileged the last 3 weeks to be with them, and I'm going to be sad to say goodbye to them today when I leave to go back home later in the day. God bless you, Brother Harold, Miss Joyce, and all the family. 57 years of marriage. I thought Joni and I were celebrating a milestone this week of 37 years of marriage. 37 years. But that pales in comparison to the 50 years. But I'm glad to have my wife with me today. Joni, would you stand, please? So glad to have her with me. She's been with me all the way. I was saved just a few days shy of my 16th birthday, raised in a preacher's home, heard the Word of God all my life. I not only heard it preached, I saw it lived by my mother and father. I had no excuses to not be saved before that I was, but I never will forget the day the Lord spoke to my heart, drew me to the cross. I repented of my sin, trusted Him as my Savior. He came into my heart and life. The next night, He called me to preach. Although I didn't surrender till a year later, He called me to preach. I don't know a lot, but there's two things I know today. I know that I'm saved. I know my name's written in the book of life, and I know the Lord has called me to preach. And my dear wife has been with me through the thick and the thin and through it all, and I appreciate her and love her. And we're rejoicing and celebrating this week, this weekend, 37 years of marriage. Well, your pastor called me and told me before I came that y'all were going to be dwelling on the past and the present and the future of Metropolitan Baptist Church. I began to think about what to preach. I thought about Hebrews chapter 13, where it says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And aren't you glad of that? Church, He was with you today. He was with you yesterday. He is with you today. and He will be with you tomorrow. I thought about that, but the Lord just didn't take my heart that direction. Then He told me your theme verse of Philippians chapter 3, verse number 14. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the Lord has taken my heart that direction and gripped me with those verses. So this morning I want to expand. I want to, by the help and the grace of God, expound upon those verses in that great chapter. So I call your attention to the book of Philippians, chapter number 3. We'll be reading those first 14 verses. I never read these verses, but that I do not think of chapter 1 in verse number 21 of the book of Philippians, where it says, "For to me, to live is Christ." Paul states in that verse the pulse, the heartbeat of his life. His life is Christ. And then, of course, he expands upon that in chapter 3 in these verses where he says, "But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, I press toward the mark." But of course, dearly beloved, it's all summed up in 2 Timothy chapter 4. We said, "I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I've run the race. I've finished my course." That's the past. "Therein is laid up for me a crown of righteousness." That's the present. "Which the Lord shall give me at that day." That's the future. And so this morning, dearly beloved, with no further delay, I call your attention to chapter 3 of the book of Philippians. Verse number 1 says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit." You do know that Paul had some hounds that followed him. Religious hounds. He preached a gospel of grace. And everywhere that Paul went, there were those Judaizers that said, "Listen, this preaching about grace is good, but then there's this thing of circumcision, the law of the Jews." And in essence, what they were doing is they were adding to the grace of God. And of course, Paul wrote in the book of Galatians and said, "Though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel than that which we preached unto you, let him be accursed." And that group of men is who Paul is addressing here when he says, "Beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh. If any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I am more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me?" All that religious pedigree that once was gained to him, he said, "Those I counted lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I come into Your presence today. Lord, I'm well aware of the fact that without You I can do nothing. So I ask You for wisdom and strength and power. I ask You for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I ask You for unction from up on high, Lord. I ask You not to allow me to say one word that would grieve or quench Your Spirit, nor to leave out one word that would please You. I pray, Father, that You would help me to preach with a heavenly focus today. And yet, Lord God, may we preach with an earthly helpfulness. God, may the words of God permeate our hearts and souls and minds today and strengthen us and enable us to rejoice over what You've done and what You're doing, but to rejoice as well in what You're going to do. Bless this pastor and this great church, its history and heritage. Lord, we pray that You would help us all to see that it's not over. In many ways, it hasn't yet begun. That You've sent us to the kingdom for such a time as this. Lord, that You have more to be done till the trumpet sounds and You call us home and take us away. And until that day, help us to be faithful and help us to be fruitful in Your knowledge and in Your work. We'll be careful to give You praise and thanks and honor and glory. For it's in Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen and amen. In verse number 13, the Apostle Paul says, this one thing that I do. This one thing that I do. That magnifies the idea of focus or determination. And then in verse number 14, Paul says, I press toward the mark. Amen. In verse 13, he says, reaching forth. In verse number 12, he says, I follow after. Those phrases there magnify the idea of moving forward. I really believe that that embraces and embellishes your theme for the day. Pressing on towards the mark. Paul was in such a mode where he was determined not to get caught in the past, nor to fret over the present. You do know that this is one of his prison epistles, and he wrote it, dearly beloved, from a Roman jail cell under house arrest. Paul could have been discouraged, dearly beloved, but rather than be discouraged, Paul's not looking back, and Paul's not looking at the nasty now and now. Paul's looking forward, amen? Not just to the day, dearly beloved, that he can see the Lord, but Paul's looking forward to whatever else it is that God has for him in whatever time that he has left. I want to magnify the thought this morning, dearly beloved, that that's exactly what the Lord wants of us, both individually and collectively. He wants it of you and I as individual Christians, and he wants it of the Metropolitan Baptist Church collectively. Paul, the Apostle Paul, in his words here, these are God's words. What he's saying to us, dearly beloved, is, church, keep moving forward. Amen. The old Christian hymn says it well. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. And I say to you, dearly beloved, there's no place in the Scripture where the Lord ever tells us to go back. There's no place in Scripture where the Lord ever tells us to retreat. And even though there are times when God tells us to stand still, even in those times, it is for the purpose of you and I moving forward. I want to encourage the church today to say to you, out of all the glory of your past, and out of all the confidence in your present, I want to encourage you that there are even better days ahead, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I want to encourage you and motivate you by the grace of God today to keep pressing on. There's commands in the Scripture to this end. The same author here, the Apostle Paul, writes in the book of Hebrews and Chapter 6, and he says, therefore, not laying again the foundation of repentance and baptism, and repentance, excuse me, from dead works. He said, let us go on unto perfection. In the book of Hebrews, chapter number 12, after that great faith chapter. And he takes us through that hall of faith. The Apostle Paul says, seeing we are encompassed with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside the weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with race, with patience, the race. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul feared becoming a castaway. And out of that fear, Paul said, I therefore so run, and I therefore so fight. I want to say to the Metropolitan Baptist Church this morning, the trumpet has not sounded yet. We've not gone home yet. There's more souls to win. There's more doors to knock on. There's more mission fields to explore. There's more sermons to preach. There's more lessons to teach. I want to encourage you by the grace of God to stand up like a mighty army and be determined to move forward. But can I say there are some dangers that stand in the way? There are some dangers that could cause us individually and collectively as a church to become a castaway or disqualified. And Paul expounds upon these things in these verses. I want to say, first of all, Paul was determined to keep going forward. Paul was determined to keep going onward in spite of the fact that his pride could hold him back. His pride could hold him back. As a matter of fact, dearly beloved, he says over here in chapter 3, in verse number 2, he says, have no confidence in the flesh. Verse number 7 says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss. What is Paul saying? He's saying you need to keep moving forward, church at Philippi, but be careful. If you're not careful, pride can hold you back. Not only can pride hold you back, but if you're not careful, the past can hold you back. He says down in verse number 13, he says, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Can I say, dearly beloved, the church or the Christian that is determined to live in the past will die in the past. The world is changing and people are changing, dearly beloved. And I'm not saying we need to change the message, and we certainly can't change God. But what I am saying is that we cannot live in the past and just talk about yesteryear. We must move on, because if we live there, dearly beloved, we're determined to die there. But not only did Paul fear pride holding him back and the past holding him back, Paul feared passivity holding him back. Boy, I like the words he used here. I follow after, I reach forth, I press toward the mark. Paul magnifies the fact that this pursuit that he is in is one in which he is intense, dearly beloved. He's doing it with all of his might, amen. He does not want passivity to hold him back. Can I say today, dearly beloved, in 2013, some of the dangers that can hinder Metropolitan Baptist Church from being determined to move forward are pride, past, and passivity. I want us to look at pride, first of all, just for a moment. I remind you, dearly beloved, that God hates pride. In the book of Proverbs, the Bible says there's six things the Lord hates. And seven things are an abomination unto Him. And the very first one is a proud look. In Proverbs chapter 8, in verse number 13, God specifically states, dearly beloved, that He hates pride. In James chapter 4, the Bible tells us that God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. In the book of Proverbs, He tells us again that pride goeth before a fall, and a haughty spirit before destruction. And to that end, the Apostle Paul says, put no confidence in the flesh. I want to say, dearly beloved, that Paul feared pride holding him back because, first of all, pride promotes the flesh. Pride exalts you and I. Pride exalts what we can do and what we've done. And I say to the Metropolitan Baptist Church today, I've roamed these halls and looked at these pictures, and I've seen your history, and I've seen your heritage, but I want to remind you, you didn't do it. It was God that did it, amen. I want to remind you that though He may have used you, and you might have been an instrument in His hand, it wasn't you that accomplished these things. It was God that accomplished these things. And as you go into the future, and as you move forward with what God has for you, I want to encourage you today to put no confidence in the flesh. For after all, Jesus Himself said, you remember His words. He said, if I be lifted up,